The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 12 minutes after 8, always proud to talk with Joe Gazzardi. Joe Gazzardi is one of the people with the Institute for Sound Public Policy. Hello, Joe. What do you know this morning,
huh? How are you? Great to talk to you.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, I've talked to you off and on over the years, and you have been focused. I mean, you were involved in the fight for a sound immigration policy, I don't know, 20 years back. We've been going. Has it been that long that we've been talking, 15, 20 years? I want to say it's been pretty close to it.
Bill, at least that long. Actually, I've been lobbying for a sound immigration policy for over 30 years, so.
I remember you started then at Progressives for Immigration Reform. I think that was when you were on the West Coast. You're in Pennsylvania at this point, right?
In Pennsylvania where the temperature is 7 degrees.
Whoa. What town, if you don't mind me asking? Where are you there?
I'm about 10 miles north of Pittsburgh.
Okay. Yeah, we're here with a balmy 37, so that's where we find ourselves. Man, that is wild. You know, do you have natural gas for your heat?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good, because, I don't know, 7 degrees, a heat pump might be putting on more clothes, just saying.
Yeah, it's been a rough 2 weeks, and of course, not as rough as for the people in Southern California, which is a real tragedy.
But once again, coming from progressive policies that, you know, stuff just doesn't work in a lot of these areas. And, well, this is the West Coast. I wanted to talk with you, though, about a piece here that you released through Institute for Sound Public Policy. And it has to do with this dust-up going on between Elon Musk, who, of course, is advising President Trump now, is going to be part of DOGE, and the MAGA supporters. And this has to do with the H-1B visa issue. And this is actually causing more concern behind the scenes than one might think. Would that be a fair assessment of where we find ourselves going right now? That because the tech bros have a completely different way of looking at it, and the people who voted to elect President Trump were not looking to make India great again. At least I don't think we were, but I could be wrong. What's going on?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, of all of the 30 years that I've been spent writing about and reading about immigration, the H-1B visa has been a thorn in the side of American workers for every single one of those years. So for Trump to come out and say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm with Elon on this. We need more visas. I've got visa workers at my properties that are great. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a direct slap in the face and 100% contrary to why voters chose Trump. You know, this policy that he's embracing, or at least indicated that he might embrace, sounds like it's coming from the hard left part of the Democratic Party that has been, you know, constantly lobbying for more H-1B visas. Actually, not just more H-1B visas, but more employment based visas. So it's a serious, serious problem. Serious problem.
Yeah.
And do you
think that someone's going to get President Trump's ear and say, hey, you know, people wanted more Americans getting jobs, and like American engineers, and we're told there aren't enough, and maybe there aren't enough. I don't know. I haven't tried to hire an engineer recently here, Joe, but.
Well,
you know, it's like on one hand, we're told that, oh, we got to get all these, you know, kids got to go to school, they got to go to STEM, and then when they go to STEM, then you end up training Punjab, your Indian engineer replacement, you know, with the H-1B visa, you know?
There is no tangible evidence that there's a shortage of STEM workers in the United States. And the only people that you hear that argument from, are the employers who want to take advantage of these indentured workers who come over to the United States on H-1B visas. And actually, you know, the visas go to the employers, right? So,
oh, so the employer controls the visa?
The employer controls the visa.
Oh.
So if he says to the new employee, he says, look, you know, here's your schedule coming up for the week. You're going to be working 65 hours, and you'll have Sunday off. I mean, that's the way it goes. And these guys, these engineers who've come in on those H-1 visas, are completely at the mercy of the employer, because if the holder of the visa, not the holder, but the worker, says, you know, I can't do that, then the employer can just begin deportation proceedings immediately. So the worker doesn't want that, because the biggest reason he doesn't want that is because the H-1B visa a few years back became a visa that would dual intent visa. So come on the H-1B visa, mm-hmm. temporary worker, work your 6 years, which is two 3 year periods, and then you're on a path to a green card. So, you know, it's
you're an indentured servant, more or less, in a way.
Totally.
Now, I want to be clear. Are the people who are coming over to pick crops coming here on H-1Bs, or are the individuals who are coming here to go to work in the motels, in the hotels, are they H-1B visas?
No, they are H-2B, B for boy.
H-2B. Okay. All right.
Now, that's, you know, different visa, but the same argument. The argument is, well, you know, we can't really find anybody to work in the motels, or to work in landscaping, or to work in forestry, which is, you know, utter and complete nonsense. The other day, I did an interview, and the question came up when Trump said that he has good H-1B workers at his properties. The question came up, well, did he mean H-2B? And now imagine somebody trying to tell you that they can't find workers to go to Trump's golf courses and, you know, mow the lawns, do landscaping, maybe get a couple of rounds of golf on the
house. Joe, maybe they can't, though. I mean, it's there has been talk about the labor participation rate of the American worker has been trending downward, and the demographics of our workers, we tend to be getting older. I mean, even in my company, I used to be the young guy, but now I'm one of the old guys here. You know, there just aren't many people behind me. Is there a case we made that
the way that works out?
Yeah.
But again, I mean, Florida, I don't know. I looked it up a couple of years ago. Florida's got something like 150 or 200 colleges and junior colleges, right?
Yes.
So it's just impossible for me to think that among all of those 200 colleges and junior colleges, you couldn't find some kids who would want to go to Mar-a-Lago and, you know, mow grass and, you know, hobnob with rich people, or maybe even Trump.
All right. Well, let me put it this way then. When we hear people that say that the mowing of the lawns and the cleaning of motels and things like that are jobs that Americans won't do, is it jobs that Americans won't do at what an employer would rather pay on an H-2B visa holder? Maybe that's how it should be redefined. Is that how it is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the employers, this has been documented dozens of times by reliable think tanks from both sides of the aisle. You know, it's not like it's just Republican or right-leaning institutions. You've had people like Pew Research and the Economic Policy Institute of Washington, both of which are, I would call, extremely left-leaning. They've published studies about the availability of workers and the salaries and so on and so forth. So, you know, you start talking about all these pieces. Okay, Trump and Musk want 300,000 more H-1Bs. And every year for the past 3 or 4 years, they've raised the caps on the H-2B visas. And then you've got the, you know, the international exchange visa and the fiancé visa and the L visa.
Okay, let me ask about another one that I've been wondering about. I was reading an article on Revolver, revolver.news, and they were blowing up something that I wasn't really aware of, the F-1 student visa program, in which American companies are given tax breaks of up to $12,000 a year for hiring a foreign student who comes here to work for them but is also going to school at the same time. And I'm going like, what? What are we doing here? Yeah?
Well, what I like to point out is, okay, you know, like with these visas, the student visa is a little bit different, but the employment... Yeah, I mean, actually, students on F-1 visas are not allowed to work. But if they enroll in something that's called optional practical training...
That's what I was talking about. I forgot to mention that part. It was OPT. Yeah. So they're allowed to work full-time jobs under the guise of being students. We'll put that in quotation marks. And then the American employer gets a tax break to hire the foreign student over the American student. That's what I'm getting at. It's a strange incentive, don't you think?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and you know, I mean, these things don't get major coverage in the newspapers. And if there are stories on it, they're probably in the Wall Street Journal. So, I mean, the average person, the average voter doesn't really know, and if he sees the story, it looks like it's really in the weeds, F-1 visas with OPT options and all that stuff. But here's the thing on all of them. You know, when advocates for more visas, it's always presented as workers, okay? Well, okay, you're going to get the workers, but you get a whole lot of other things, too, that not enough people really talk about. You're getting people. You're getting permanent residence.
And you're also getting chain migration with families, too.
Yeah, right. You're getting all of that. You're getting chain migration. You're going to have to provide housing and education and hospitals and roads and that whole scene. That's huge.
Do you think that conservative talk radio gets hung up on the legal term? Because I got to tell you how many times I've heard the Sean Hannitys and other people of the and I love Sean, don't get me wrong, but and he says, I'm all for more legal immigration. It's like, wait a minute. You know, everything we've talked about, H-1B, H-2, F-1, all of these things there, they're all legal here, Joe. But it's like nobody wants to put a reasonable limitation on what can be assimilated into our society. And there's no look about this. All it is we need engineers. Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you permit the United States college system to go so woke and ridiculous? And then mathematics didn't matter anymore. Right? And all of a sudden, what, we're just supposed to replace everybody here with the third world and we're supposed to be happy and not owe anything?
I mean when you hear Hannity and many, many, many others talk about, oh, yeah, you know, we got to close the border to these illegal immigrants. They're unacceptable. And then, you know, they think that by saying, well, I'm all in on more legal immigration, they don't have any idea. I mean, exclusive, okay, forget about the visas. Every year, more than 1 million new permanent residents come to the United States. And as you just pointed out, what does that mean? Well, it means chain migration, for one thing. It means that they may come to the United States and decide to start a family or decide to grow their existing families. And all of those obligations will kick in. And that's a lot. And nobody, I mean, I can't remember the last time I heard a politician talk about population growth, infrastructure,
Yeah.
And
but Joe, to your point though, what we voted for Donald Trump to do was not to make more legal immigrants.
No.
We voted for Donald Trump to stop the flow, okay? Put a pause to this. And yet what we're hearing coming out of the mouth of the tech bros like Elon is exactly the opposite. And this gets me a little concerned.
Well,
am I right to be concerned? You know?
Yeah, you're right to be concerned. Now, you know, one of the things that I take a little bit of comfort in is that Trump didn't have any difficulty getting rid of some dead wood when he was first president. You remember that he had Rice Priebus as his...
oh, yeah. Yikes.
And John Kelly and a bunch of other people that just, you know, really weren't suitable for the responsibilities that they were given. So Trump is a pretty savvy guy. I mean, the problem is, though, as you pointed out, he seems to be taking the wrong initial steps.
Or taking the wrong lesson from his election, I guess is what what I'm going to, you know?
Ignoring the election results. And it's a little concerning also that, you know, he's a lame duck. So he doesn't really have to worry about the next election. There isn't going to be a next election. So it's got the talk about more visa holds died down a little bit. And I like to think that's because Trump has gotten a lot of feedback from, I don't know, whoever he listens to that isn't named Elon Musk or Vivek Ramaswamy. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It would be a betrayal of the greatest magnitude if he goes on ahead and increases the cap on H-1B visas. What he should do with it is cancel it. I mean, there's no need for it. Many years ago, the head of the Labor Department in Jimmy Carter's administration called the H-1B visa the biggest hoax that's ever been played on the American people.
And that was from Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter's era?
Wow.
Immigrant-friendly, refugee-friendly Jimmy Carter. And this guy, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but he said it's the biggest hoax.
Huh.
And he further said there's no real indication that there's a shortage of STEM graduates. So it's a disgrace. It's a real disgrace.
All right. I'm talking with Joe Cazardi once again, and his organization is Institute for Sound Public Policy. All right. Happy to take your calls here. We're talking about immigration at the moment. Here, let me go to line two. Good morning. Who's this?
Oh, this is David. Yeah, did I hear your guest actually say that Elon Musk and them want thousands of these visas?
Isn't that right here, Joe? Isn't that where
tens of thousands.
So it seems, if I remember right, each one of those visas has to be carefully calculated. And so they're trying to get bulk. And so it almost sounds like an act of bigotry to say that Americans are too incompetent to get jobs at their companies. So that's a bigotry against America.
You know something, David? You and I agree on this issue, okay? I agree.
Well, yeah.
Thank you for the call, all right?
Well, I'm going to add a little bit to that if I can.
Please do.
You know, the one of the arguments for it is that employers America needs to get the best and the brightest of all of these engineers from across the world. But the visa is a lottery. It's a lottery.
Oh, it is? So you're not picking and choosing?
No. And Trump tried to get it. He actually did get it changed. Yeah, he got a change for 1 year. But, you know, that what you want is to be able to pick from among the best, the truly the best and brightest, not have a lottery of, you know, several hundred thousand people from across the world and randomly pick 65,000, which is the cap of the H-1B visa.
It's a very good point, Joe. Didn't know that. I didn't realize all this time I've been talking about H-1B visas, and I never knew it was a lottery. I thought
it's an utter scam. It's just a disgrace. And then to think that year after year, you know, this visa was created in 1990. So to think that year after year, you've got guys like Zuckerberg and some of those other Silicon Valley big shots. And, oh, you know, we need these workers so badly.
Yeah.
If Trump were to cancel the lottery this year, look, we're not going to hold it. You know, we want to see what happens if we don't hold it. So you, the employers, are going to have to hold on to the workers that you already have and or hire American STEM graduates.
Well, I remember interviewing a few years ago during that deal when Disney was bringing in a bunch of H-1Bs to staff their data centers, right? And I was talking to people, one of the people who was there in order to get his settlement, or his severance rather, had to train his replacement for a number of weeks or months, you know, leading up to it. And
standard procedure.
Yeah, standard procedure sort of thing. And that's part of just replacing American workers. That's all this is. And what a scam. Thank you so much. Let me go to caller number three. Hey, you've been on hold here for a little bit. Hi, good morning. Who's this? You're with Joe Gazzardi. Welcome. Hello?
It's Wayne.
Yeah, hey, Wayne. Go ahead.
Hey. You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
In the 1860s, the South was saying, gee, if you free the slaves, who's going to pick the cotton? Nobody will do it. You fast forward today, if you pay a decent wage that pays better than the freebies you get from government, the apples will get picked and the motel rooms will get cleaned and the lawns will get mowed.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess there is a certain part of that, Joe, that the desire for really cheap labor, you know, coming in either legally or illegally, is really a part of, I guess, privatized profits and socialized costs, right? Socialized costs. All the other taxpayers have to pay for the education and the other goodies, right? That kind of thing.
Yes, and you know, Wayne made a great point. The historically proven method to get workers, if you're worried about your workforce, the historic method to get more workers is to pay higher wages, period. You know, there's no two ways about that. So when you start hearing, oh, my God, we've got to import hundreds of thousands of people to come to the United States and settle in the United States. You know, these visas are allegedly temporary, but come on. I mean, who from some of these countries that gets to the United States is going to go home? And there's no one in the federal government looking for them to see if they've overstayed their visas. So, you know, they're not going to get deported.
Let's hope that we get this, you know, this push from Elon and the other tech bros to, you know, get that throttled back and throttled back big time. But I appreciate you writing on this, and I'm going to share your paper, you know, this latest piece that you put up on my website on the blog and so much more. Joe, just out of curiosity, where can people find out more about the Institute for Sound Public Policy? What's your website address?
Just to use the initials, www.ifspp.org.
All right, will do. I'll get it up there. Joe?
Bill, thanks a million.
Good to have you on, and feel better. I know we've all been dealing with some creeping crud. You too, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I know how that goes. Keep that natural gas furnace burbling away there, just north of Pittsburgh. 836 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
When it comes right down to it, when we buy things, we want the best products at the best prices and the best service. Of course, sellers always try to tell you that they're the best. Hughes Lumber has been selling lumber products for over 40 years in the Rogue Valley. So if you want to really know who has the best lumber deals, just ask a customer of Hughes Lumber. in Medford on Crater Lake Highway, the customer's favorite choice.
It's 837. Open phones, by the way, 770-5633. And we're going to have some fun here for the last 20 minutes, or at least good conversation. We always like to do this Friday and every day for that matter. Another number to keep in mind is 261-5444. 261-5444. And you know who that is? That is Steve Yancey's number. Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance helps people save money. And money on insurance is, boy, I'll tell you. You know, you look at sometimes you get that renewal and you just about just gasp. Some of the increases have been strange. It's been way above the rate of inflation. So talk to Steve, get a quote, home, auto, life, business insurance, RV insurance, motorcycle. He does it all, works with many different companies. 261-5444. Become a client. I think you'll enjoy the experience. And if you already have a great deal or the best of a bad deal, he'll let you know. Okay. And if you have questions about Medicare, well, there's another person there who has joined the Sky Park team too, and that's Lynn Barton. Lynn Barton, her number, 499-0958. Anytime, if you couldn't write those numbers down, just email me, or you just head to their website, skyparkins.com. Save money and get together some good people. Sky Park Insurance.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
This is Brent with Home and Built Deck and Fence. Many customers in the Rogue Valley ask why winter is a great time for deck, fence, and siding projects. The answer? Faster scheduling, quicker completion, and better prices than next spring. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation now. Home and Built provides top-notch design, quality craftsmanship, and exceptional service. You work hard year-round, and so do we. Visit homeandbuilt.com to see our work. That's HOMANBUILT.com. Home and Built. We build the best and fix the rest.
Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
And let me go to line two. It's open phones. Haven't been able to clear the lines, but we'll just see whatever's on your mind. Been a lot to chew on. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is Todd Central Point.
Hey, Todd.
Your last guest's point, a friend of mine 15 some odd years ago was working for the state of Nevada. And when Obamacare came down the pike, she had to help institute it administratively.
Mm-hmm.
And she was working for that company. She transferred over to Deloitte. And then the state of Oregon offered her a job up in Salem to do the same thing. When she moved up there to help do that administrative work, she said everybody she worked with was on those visas from India. And she said they were all great to work with, but they were willing to live, you know, six to an apartment. It was a different living standard. So it was impossible for your regular American to want to lower their standard of living to compete with them. So I see exactly what he's saying. And just a quick point before I go. Was their name Denise Anderson, who was going to be speaking at the Central Point Library?
Yeah, Diana Anderson is her name. That's going to be, 6 o'clock this evening. Yes.
She said something that stuck in my head really quick. She said that your presence at city council meetings alone really has an impact on politicians. And when I was listening to that city zoning planning director for Central Point last week on a talk show, and she said something that stuck in my head that, quite often these public meetings for zoning, and unless it's a contentious issue, sometimes there'd be one or two people in the audience, but more often than not, no one in the audience. So it's obvious that, you know, you and I aren't going to grab a box of popcorn and say, hey, let's go to a Central Point zoning meeting tonight. It'll be fun. But when they see that no one's there, that gives them a green light to do their massive planning infrastructure, you know, hive mind policies. So.
Well, look at what has been talked about this week. Many people have been discussing how outraged they are about the speed limit reduction in the business district in downtown Medford. And I think that it's been bad policy. I think it's bad for business. I think it's bad for everything. It's rare that I can go to a evening meeting because I go to bed very early because of my job work and other responsibilities. But, you know, I can make a comment to the council, and I'm going to be doing that this weekend for sure. But, you know, there's only one person that showed up to talk about that. It was Bob Hayworth. And yet there are thousands of people who have been nailed unjustly by these tickets over the last couple of months. Isn't that interesting?
It is. And also, if I can make a plea for snail mail, I think it's better than an email.
And maybe you're right.
As good as being there in person. Yeah. And I mean, I'll give you an example. On a couple of occasions over the years, I've sent communist Jeff Golden physical letters. He has responded individually to each letter. So when they see someone's actually put a stamp on a letter, they know that that's somebody who's going to vote if they've gone to the trouble to do that. And to your point about the speed limit thing, since now you've got me all mad. So I was going north on 99, crossing over 8th Street there behind RCC. And boom, you see the even broad daylight, you see those strobe lights go off. And then your heart skips a beat because you think, oh, did I just get nailed for a $400 ticket? And I realized it was just a guy in a truck going maybe 31 miles an hour, and he got popped for speed. So I knew he was going to get a really nasty letter in the mail.
Boy, something else. We seem to be really worried a lot. Well, you know, as an example, what do they always say about downtown? They say the reason we want to go slow in downtown Medford is because of pedestrians. Well, what's the now? Let's be honest with ourselves. What's the real problem with pedestrian activity in downtown Medford here? Do you have you want to take a stab at that, Todd?
They're drug-induced psychosis, spinning like a whirling dervish through traffic.
Bingo! Yeah. We can't do anything about that, so instead we attack the business community under the guise of climate-friendly, equitable communities, when really what we have is a drug-addicted, raving lunatic problem here in Southern Oregon. Point well taken. 843, and if you are on hold, I'll get to your call here in just a moment, 770-5633. Thanks for waking up on KMED and KBXG.
Oregon E-Deals has unbeatable offers for you. Grab a $25 gift certificate to Artisan Bakery for only $18, perfect for fresh European-style pastries, or get a $25 Malello Coffee Roasters gift certificate, also just $15, for your coffee fix. Looking for some self-care? Get a $30 Skin Esteem certificate for only $10. Visit OregonEDeals.com and click the Medford link to score these deals.
I'm hooked on Oregon, eDeals.com. I'm saving big.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Thanks, Jan. I'm out here on location looking at a roof that needs to be replaced. Here's your future weather forecast if you have a roof like this one. Brought to you by our new sponsor, Fontana Roofing. And they're right on time. Nice ladder.
What?
Eventually, you can expect heavy showers causing leaks, creating an interior water feature you neither anticipated or desired. Nickel-sized hail may develop, causing severe damage to the granules. And high winds are also possible, sending shingles airborne, like throwing stars hurled by a dangerous ninja.
What?
Also expect relentless heat waves, further deteriorating the roofing material. Protection from the elements starts by calling Fontana Roofing.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, but I like him.
Well, he needs to get off the roof.
Maybe he can do play-by-play on our expert roof replacement. How about it?
Yeah, sure. I'm better at sports. But first, a word from our sponsor, Fontana Roofing. Visit them at FontanaRoofingServices.com.
One of each. K4 VIN 016551 MSRP 24145. Telluride VIN 593123 MSRP 45535 5999 due 10K miles per year. Zero security deposit. All incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 2225.
Ready to go? You've got the green light at Kia Medford during the Green Light Savings Event. Shop our huge selection of brand new Kias, like the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS, just $169 a month lease, or a new 2025 Kia Telluride EX all-wheel drive, only $269 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds, with no effect on your credit score. Don't wait. Drive a K4, $169 a month, or Telluride, $269 a month. Save big when the green light is on at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
It is 847. 770-5633. We will have a Diner 62 Real American quiz before the end of this hour, hopefully. Hopefully we can get this all squeezed in here. Well, let me put the quiz down because I had my list of actually who was online waiting to talk, and I'm going to start with them first. Hello, Randy. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hi, Bill. Say, listen, I know that California's, you know, limited on what they can do for water on the firefighting, but I'm just curious, those planes that are going out there and scooping up the ocean water and then dropping it all, you know, on the ground up there and whatnot, is that salt water? I mean, I'm wondering if that salt water is going to be good for the ground. You know what I mean? I don't think
well, I imagine it would be salt water. You know, they're off the coast, but yeah, I imagine it could be problematic if you had too much of it, right?
Yeah, maybe drop it up there on the hills and stop some of that stuff from growing for
a
while.
Yeah, but would there you go. Just salt the ground of Southern California. Everything will be just fine, right? Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
Oh, that's funny, Randy. Thanks for the call. Let me go to Tom. Hey, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
Doing fine, Bill. About the visas, I think if you look at all the whole immigration policy right now, the whole thing is about having dumbed down voters and also disempowering current voters. It's just part of this big shift of erasing America, and that's really the big picture behind what's going on.
So it's kind of like you think they need a more pliable voter.
Yeah, more easily brainwashed. Which, if you don't think this is important or whatever, and that voting doesn't matter, well, just look how blue Los Angeles is currently turning into red right now. If voting doesn't matter, you know, this whole thing about mind control and mindset and so forth. I mean, this is Los Angeles meeting Los Angeles. They made a whole bunch of bad decisions because blue thinking is not reality-based.
And they spend a lot of time working on issues that really have no possibility of being solved or really have nothing to do with most people's lives.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that disease is very current in Oregon government, too.
Yeah.
And if we don't if we don't change a lot of the bureaucrats running Salem, we're going to face we are facing the same thing. The whole thing that came down with COVID, the closing down of business, dead people from vaccinations. I mean, Oregon's on the same path as Los Angeles.
Oh, right? by the way, speaking of the COVID vax, I was just reading Steve Kirsch's Substack the other day. And he was talking about how the embalmers in the funeral home industry are still finding those weird rubbery clots coming from the people who have had multiple shots.
Thought that was interesting. Which brings up the point. We really don't know the death rate from the vaccinations yet because people are still dying. And
man, could be hidden for all we know under this kind of stuff. You know, you have a heart attack, you die of a heart attack, and it was a couple of years ago you had some done. Who knows? You can't connect it. And there's not a lot of curiosity about it, too. Thanks for the call there, Tom. I really appreciate it. And because Lucretia's always here, too. We always like Lucretia. Hello, Lucretia.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
I looked at all the information about the governor not filling the reservoirs, trying to save some, you know, fish, the LGBTQ fire chief, which he didn't do, the electricity not being turned off. It was sparking all over. Why didn't they turn the electricity off? My friend down in San Diego had hers turned off for a week just because of, another concern.
Well, you know, you can't sue the power companies over and over again and then expect the juice to stay on in dangerous conditions. That's kind of the way it goes. You can have the power on or you can take the risk of the fire from the sparks. I guess.
Okay. But the big point is the very last podcast I showed was the Healthy American Peggy Hall. And she said that don't be distracted by all this. Be concerned. You can't put out an electrical fire. When you have fireplaces that are built to handle fire and porcelain toilets that don't burn and other things that should not burn but burn and they return to ashes, something else is going on. This was clearly planned. And when you look at the last fire it was December 1st, 2001, which is the anniversary of Alice Crowley's death. And then you have the new fire chief called Kristen Crowley. And then you've got also the person, the head of the water, and all these other things. Also at the gematria of 177.
Okay, now if you're going into the numerology and the Crowley, this and that, the other, that's a hell of a conspiracy. Yeah, but the thing is, though. By the way, don't think that a firestorm in 80 to 100 mile winds can't incinerate just about anything, including glass.
Except for, you know, my God, it's just like, who controls the winds? We know they can do that. That was one of the first experiments.
But you see, you always go down this path, though, Lucretia, that because there are ways of controlling weather, that anytime something bad happens, that it's obviously that.
But how do you have all these other names with this and have all these dates just perfect, and that they called it apocalyptic fire, which means the burnt offering? That's where the Jews actually... A lot of them moved there, and so this was the burnt offering. They called it...
I'm just going to say it again. You know, you always have... If the weather is bad, though, it's they. If the weather is good, I guess they just didn't feel like killing us that day.
Too many other...
All right, yeah, I get it. We've gone down this before. I'm saying they're big claims mean big evidence, and... You know, fires have been frying up Southern California for a long, long time, not just this week, okay? Anyway, I appreciate the call. I got to go. All right, 770-5633. I'm going to get rid of all the calls right now because we're going to do the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. 770-5633. I want to make sure and get in there. If you have not won it in the last few, 60 days or so, you can play it next. And, in fact, Diner 62 delivered something to me this morning. What do they deliver? Weighs about 15 pounds. Like I really need to eat that much. Steve, I might have to share this with you. Looking at Scuba Steve in there. Ooh, it is chicken fried steak with gravy and scrambled eggs on top. You want to split it? Okay, Steve is looking at me. He's going to split it with me, okay? It's a splitter as far as I'm concerned. Oh, my gosh. They have all that great food. 770-5633. Let's play it next, okay?
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
Rain is synonymous with the Pacific Northwest. While we love the rain for many reasons, your home may not. That's where Terra Firma comes in. Pooled or standing water is a breeding ground for mold and rot, compromising the very structure of your home. But the water doesn't have to do damage to your home this year. Terra Firma foundation systems are your waterproofing experts. If you notice wet basement walls, musty odors, or sweaty windows, call Terra Firma and schedule a free evaluation today. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173547.
When it comes right down to it, when we buy things, we want the best products, at the best prices, and the best service. Of course, sellers always try to tell you that they're the best. Hughes Lumber has been selling lumber products for over 40 years in the Rogue Valley. So if you want to really know who has the best lumber deals, just ask a customer of Hughes Lumber. In Medford, on Crater Lake Highway, the customer's favorite choice.
Looking for your next adventure? From the rugged Subaru Outback to the versatile Subaru Forester, Southern Oregon Subaru has the perfect vehicle for you. Plus, we're offering a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new Subarus. Whether it's mountain roads or city streets, drive with peace of mind. Visit Southern Oregon Subaru today and find the perfect new Subaru for you. The service contract is not provided or backed by the manufacturer of the vehicle. The manufacturer of the vehicle is not responsible for claims or repairs under the service contract.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
Happy New Year from Diner 62. That half ham special for 11:15, Friday 6 to 9, Monday through Friday 6 to 9, still on. Clam Chowder Friday today. Oh, just wonderful food over there at Diner 62. And let me go to Joel. Joel's in the Iron Gate. Hey, Joel, how you doing?
Well, we got a new phone.
Good. Gosh, I can finally tell you how many years I've been telling you to get a new phone. You did it. Great. Hey, Joel, it was today in 1776. Thomas Paine publishes Common Sense. It was January 10th. Writer Thomas Paine publishes Common Sense, setting forth his arguments in favor of American independence. Although little used today, pamphlets were important. They were kind of the internet of the day, okay, spreading ideas. 2 years later, his 47-page pamphlet had sold 500,000 copies, Joel. Powerfully influencing American opinion, it played a pivotal role in transforming our colonial squabble into the American Revolution. Now, Paine died in 1809. How many people went to Thomas Paine's funeral? Was it one? Was it six? Was it 60? Was it 600? Or was it 6,000 people? Remember, 500,000 people had his pamphlet. How many went to his funeral?
We'll go for 6,000.
You're going to go for 6,000, the highest one? No, I wish that was the case. It was less than 6,000. Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thomas Paine's funeral, yeah. How many people went to it? One person, six, 60, or 600?
Six.
Boy, today's a good day for you.
You're a winner!
Mike, here's the story. It was originally published anonymously. Common Sense did not make Thomas Paine a household name. In addition, although he was revered later for his writings and his grand visions for world peace and social security for the elderly and the poor, his views on religion were so radical at the time that he was abandoned by many of his friends. In his later years, a line from his obituary, he had lived long, did good, and much harm. So he was not really well-loved back in those days. Only six people went to his funeral, and despite his major contributions to the American Revolution, he died alone June 8th, 1809 in New York City. Six people showed up. Half of them were former slaves. And by the way, at the time of the Revolution, most colonists considered themselves to be aggrieved Britain. Paine fundamentally changed the tenor of the argument with the Crown when he wrote, "Europe and not England is the parent country of America. The New World hath been the asylum for the persecuted lovers of civil and religious liberty from every part of Europe. Hither they have fled, not from the tender embraces of the mother, but from the cruelty of the monster." And it is so far true of England that the same tyranny which drove the first emigrants from home pursues their descendants still. Amazing story, and we're going to send you to Diner 62, and you just hang on and we're going to take care of business, all right? Thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right. Good weekend for him, and you have a wonderful weekend. And we're just going to join Town Hall now. Town Hall News on KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.